with Kevin Woolley from In Goal Magazine. And Kevin, the Blue Jackets, they lost Bobrovsky in the offseason. They've got an injury earlier, but it seems like they're still trending in the right direction with the work by Elvis Merzlikins. What have you liked about him, and why has he turned it around?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. He's a good goaltender.
Nailed
it. He's a perfect size. Yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge. No, like this is not a surprise in terms of the upside. The surprise may be that he's doing it this quickly, transitioning to North America. Like, at In Goal Magazine, our staff, Greg Ballack, does a lot of our prospect writing, and when the Columbus got him, I think it was 76th in the draft, like, he loved that pick, right? There was so much sort of raw skill, explosive athletic ability. He's that perfect size. We talk about, you know, at a time when a lot of teams are looking for monsters, 6'5", 6'6", I think that perfect goaltender size is 6'3", maybe even 6'2", in that window. Anything smaller and anything bigger, your size is something you have to overcome. Bigger creates holes, smaller obviously creates space. And he's just right in that perfect window. He's dynamic, he's explosive, he's an electric personality. So the only question was, and he refined some of those technical elements that were, like I said, a little rough around the edges when he was picked. He refined them over in Lugano in the Swiss League with actually a Canadian goaltending coach named Michael Lawrence, who I've known for a few years, and he's really helped him sort of dial it in. The only question was going to be, how would he get it? How would he adapt over here? A different style of game. And I'll be honest with you, in the summer, when they let Bob go, and they went with Merzlikins and Korpisalo, I didn't think it would be a problem because of the skill of both those players. I thought I was going to eat those words early on, because Merzlikins did struggle for the first couple months of the season. It wasn't, though, with the game strategy. It wasn't with the adjustments. It was mentally with not being the guy, with not playing, with having to sit and watch Korpisalo and having to overcome bad starts. And now that Korpisalo is out and all those pressures and all that stress of, when am I going to start again if I don't play well, and sitting long stretch, that's all gone. And he's just playing. And you're seeing that skill shine through. Now, the one thing that doesn't hurt either, top five defensive environment in the NHL. That never hurts a goaltender.
The Pacific Division is a literal logjam between Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Arizona, and Vegas. In your opinion, which team has the best goaltending for the stretch drive?
If I was picking a number one, people are going to think this is just because I watch him all the time and it's a bias, but Jacob Markstrom. And the numbers back it up. When I look at ClearSight Analytics, it's ironic. We've seen a lot of these sort of halfway through the season polls about who should win the Vezina Trophy. NHL.com, who I work for, did a poll. But I'm not staff, so I didn't get to vote. Markstrom didn't get a single top five vote. And yet when I look at the ClearSight Analytics numbers, courtesy of Stephen Valiquette, and measure performance compared to shot quality and the volume of work, Jacob Markstrom actually grades out number one in the National Hockey League with close to 15 goals saved above expected. Number two is Robin Lehner. Jordan Binnington's behind there. The other guy who's in that top five is David Rittich. So to me, those are your 1-2 right now. Rittich has had a little bit more of a dip over the past little while. Markstrom's been pretty steadily among the best in the NHL behind a defense that gives up a lot of chances. So those would be my numbers 1 and 2. And the one reason I might hedge towards Calgary, though, is Cam Talbot's playing really well behind David Rittich, so it's kind of a team effort there. And here in Vancouver, Thatcher Demko has coming off a good start in his last game, but is obviously, you know, coming off a concussion, missed a bunch of time, and so there are maybe a little more question marks. I think he'll answer those questions, but there are a little more question marks with the Canucks in the backup role. But in terms of just pure number one right now, it may surprise a lot of people to hear this, but it isn't just because I'm from Vancouver and watch him all the time. Jacob Markstrom's been really good, and interestingly, heading into unrestricted free agency this summer if they don't get him locked up.
Breaking down the world of goaltending with the guru himself, Kevin Woolley from In Goal Magazine, a great guy to talk about with these things. Kevin, Henrik Lundqvist has been an amazing goalie for a long time, and I was a teammate for him that obviously got his career off to the good start. But they have three goalies there in New York. How does this situation, A, get managed with Lundqvist and what he's done for the organization, but also make sure there's room for the other two young goaltenders to grow?
Well, I think a lot of us originally just assumed that Lundqvist was staying because that's been sort of his statement on it, his perspective on it throughout, right? When they went through the rebuild, at a couple different occasions, they went to him and asked him about being, you know, being part of the rebuild by going somewhere else or being part by staying. And he said he wanted to stay. He wanted to see this through. He didn't see himself being anywhere other than a New York Ranger. And I think everybody kind of took that at its word. From his perspective, I still think I do. And so everybody thought Georgiev would be the one to go because they saw more upside long-term in Shesterkin. But it's interesting, Jason, because, like, once again tonight, Georgiev's going to get the start. Lundqvist is sitting out. I wonder, as we see him sitting in the press box, you know, he's top five all-time in wins. Him and Fleury are sort of battling for that 4 or 5 spot. And even at age 37, it's not like he's playing poorly. Before they started this three-goaltender rotation, the adjusted numbers had him top five in the NHL. He was fifth behind a team that gave up, I mean, talk about a nightmare in their own end. That's the New York Rangers for long stretches this season. That assumption, though, that Georgiev was going to be the odd man out and all the talk about maybe him going to Toronto, we're starting to hear talk about maybe Lundqvist could be interested in leaving. If not now, then he wants to play beyond this contract. And if they've made it clear to him that it won't be in New York because they've got other young goalies coming, maybe he'd be more willing to move earlier. And I haven't heard anything about him changing his mind. But when you look at the way they've handled it, putting him in the press box on nights, not giving him many starts over the past couple of weeks, you can't help but wonder if it's sort of, you know, a little pressure, a little bit of a nudge to maybe make that decision sooner. Because so as good as he's been, the hard part for New York is he's obviously not the future. He's only got a year left on his contract. He is 37. And you've got these two young guys, 23, 24 years old, who are performing really well. To lose one of them now, because you can't keep all three happy, just to have Lundqvist walk in unrestricted free agency, you know, a year and a half from now, doesn't make a ton of sense either. So the assumption with Georgiev would be the odd man out, but I'm starting to wonder if they've maybe, you know, pushed Henrik towards a change of decision, and could we see a different move earlier? Because I'm telling you, Lundqvist, if you're a team that still needs elite number one goaltending, I do believe that he maybe not as often as he used to have to, but he's still a guy who's capable of delivering it.
So let's look at a team that I think probably needs an upgrade in net, Colorado Avalanche. They have, in need of a goalie, they have room with the cap. Does he bring what they need, and does his style fit the style of defense and team they have there in Denver?
That's interesting, because I look at them, and I look at Pavel Francouz, who's, you know, I think he's got a record like a 920, he's top 10 in the NHL with a 926 save percentage right now. Unrestricted free agent at the end of this contract as well. I also look at Grubauer. Consistency has been the issue for him, but when he's on his game, he's been as good as anyone, and they've gotten those stretches from him. So I'm not sure they see the need for an upgrade as much as other people might. As far as fitting into the system, that would be my biggest question with Lundqvist, and it would be about adjusting. After all those years of same teammates, same goalie coach, same habits, same preparation, just all the details that go into his game being the same for his entire career in New York, you know, what type of adjustment period would he be looking at behind a different structure, behind a different defensive system, communicating with new defensemen? I mean, he's had those things happen during his time in New York with new coaches and new personnel, but he's never had to do it mid-season. He's never had to move. And so there's an uncertainty there that for sure I think would maybe give teams pause. The other team that I think of a little bit is the Carolina Hurricanes. James Reimer's been really good. He's been above expected, and yet they continue to roll with Peter Mrazek, who is, you know, bottom five in the league in adjusted numbers. They continue to sort of roll him out as a number one, despite some struggles. So, you know, there's a team that, as much as I'm a Reimer believer, if they aren't and they continue to sort of play him in a 1B role despite clearly better numbers than the guy they roll out as their number one, I wonder if they might look for an upgrade. So there are teams, I think, that could benefit from Lundqvist, but you're absolutely right. I don't have the answer about what the adjustment would be like for him, but there would certainly be one, and that might be enough to scare teams off.
Kevin Woodley, thanks for the stuff. We'll get into it next week with you, and we'll maybe take a look at some of the young prospects the Oilers have in net, because a lot of fans are asking for that tonight.
Okay, perfect. I will dig in on that then. I'll have some answers for them.
Thanks, Kevin. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Freddie.